Hello, this is Ian with the commercial news, dated Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020. We'll start our reading today, as we usually do, on the front page of the paper. Today, that starts with the article, Williams Encourages Mask Wearing, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. With President Donald Trump and officials nationwide saying the wearing of masks is having an impact to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. also encourages mask usage. Alderwoman Brenda Brown asked Williams to make a statement about mask wearing for the health and safety of the community. Williams said he's encouraged people to follow federal and state health organization recommendations. I think if people can medically do so, they should do so, Williams said at Tuesday night's Danville City Council meeting via teleconference, adding that he encourages mask wearing indoors, but it's people's choice and their right. Williams also told aldermen that test results could come in today for the city employee who had a potential COVID exposure. And due to coronavirus cases continuing to increase in Vermilion County, aldermen were polled whether they wanted to continue meetings by teleconference or meet in person. Eight aldermen said they wanted teleconference meetings, and four aldermen said in person, with two absent. Some aldermen suggested having in-person meetings at a larger location for more social distancing, such as the arena. But Williams said it can be more difficult to record the meetings elsewhere. Alderman Aaron Troglia also said in-person meetings are better for when they have a lot of audience comments due to controversial issues. Williams said he's uncertain whether there will be a committee meeting next week, but meetings will continue to occur via teleconference for a while, based on the aldermen poll. The council also discussed making sure aldermen have adequate computer equipment for city business. With few activities still going on due to the coronavirus pandemic, Williams too told aldermen he's received a lot of public complaints about Garfield Park swimming pool being open this summer. Williams said the pool is one local outside activity offered right now. He reminded aldermen about the special hourly cleaning protocols when individuals are asked to leave the pool for breaks, and that's also when all the pool chairs are cleaned. And there is a special cleaning of the locker rooms and restrooms. We're doing all we can to make sure we're as safe as possible, Williams said. Alderman Robert Williams also asked about Danville School District 118's upcoming school year. Williams said he's only given personal suggestions to school officials, nothing officially as a city opinion. It's not really our domain, Williams said. We have no authority whatsoever over the schools. In other business, Alderman Dan Duncheon also asked about recent increased firefighter overtime. Williams said part of it was due to the July 4th fireworks and callbacks with fires, and a couple unexpected retirements. Speaking of District 118, we'll next go to the article District 118 to Continue Plans to Reopen by Carol Rome, Danville. Danville District 118 school board members will continue to discuss plans to reopen the schools for the 2020-2021 school year during a special meeting tonight. The board will consider approving summer conditioning protocols for Danville High School's marching band and show choir. This is the same process as the athletic conditioning protocols, Assistant Superintendent for Secondary Education Beth Jacoby said. The marching band and show choir will be following the same protocols as outlined by the Illinois High School Association and the Illinois Department of Public Health. The band conductor will wear goggles, and it is recommended that any indoor activity be held outdoors, she said. The marching band plan was developed to ensure the band students are able to participate in groups safely while ensuring that both the Illinois State Phase 4 expectations and current Illinois High School Association and Illinois State Board of Education return to play protocols are met, as well as meeting the recommendations of the Performing Arts Aerosol Study released on July 13th by the College Band Directors National Association and the National Federation of State High School Associations. Marching band conditioning sessions tentatively will take place from August 17th through 21st and 25th through 27th. Social distancing will be maintained in outdoor rehearsal spaces that will allow band students to be 6 feet apart with marked spots. No person-to-person physical contact will be permitted, including no partnered choreography, no physical contact games, and no pass-through moves. Band students will arrive to conditioning sessions in staggered, predetermined groups during a period of 30 minutes at assigned locations. Late students will not be admitted. Wind instrument players will be required to use masks when not playing. Percussion, drum majors, color guard, and staff members will wear masks at all times. Instrumental students will be provided with a covering for the end of their instrument to mitigate aerosol particles from escaping. Rehearsal times will be maximized to 3 hours per day per group. Staff will monitor and escort one band student at a time to the restroom to enforce social distancing. All food, dinner, and snack breaks will be canceled. No parent volunteers will be used or allowed in the building. Similarly, the show choir plan was developed so that show choir students are able to participate in groups safely while ensuring that both the Illinois State Phase 4 expectations and the IHSA-ISBE return to play protocols are met. Show choir conditioning sessions tentatively will take place on August 7th through 9th. No singing will occur. Social distancing will be maintained in outdoor rehearsal spaces that will allow show choir students to be 6 to 10 feet apart with spots marked. No person-to-person contact will be permitted, including no partnered choreography, no physical contact games, and no hand-holding. Show choir students will arrive into conditioning sessions in staggered, predetermined groups during a period of 30 minutes. Late students will not be admitted. Choir students and staff will be required to wear masks at all times. Dance areas will be marked on the ground to ensure students remain distanced while learning. Groups will be constantly supervised by staff to alleviate any need for parent volunteers. No costume measurements or fittings will take place at this time. Yacoby said other extracurricular programs will be discussed during the board meeting. "Right now, we're uncertain about a lot of things," she said. High school athletic directors from around the state are scheduled to meet with IHSA officials today about whether sports will be permitted to be played in the fall. Even though neighboring states will have sports, the governor has indicated that Illinois probably will not," Assistant Superintendent for Elementary Education John Hart said. Also tonight at the board meeting, the board will discuss the hours of the new school year at various schools in the district. DHS will be in session from 8:30 a.m. to 2:58 p.m. Kenneth D. Bailey Academy will be in session from 8:20 a.m. to 3 p.m. North Ridge Middle and South Upper Elementary Schools will be in session from 9 a.m. to 3:45 p.m. At those schools, students will follow a staggered A-day, B-day schedule, in which some students will attend class in person on some days and work on lessons virtually from home on their off days. Those schools will keep the same schedule hours as last year," Hart said. "They are not much different than last year. We are working hard to make sure all households have the same A-day or B-day schedules," he said. Elementary school students will attend half-day classes 5 days a week. The morning session will attend from 8 to 11 a.m., and the afternoon session will attend from noon to 3 p.m. We'll now go to the death notices. Max Norman Hoffman, M.D., died Tuesday, April 21st, at his retirement home in Huntsville, Alabama. The funeral was held on July 11th, 2020, in Huntsville. Max will rest in peace in the church columbarium until it is safe for his family to take him home to Indiana. He will ultimately be laid to rest in Covington's Mount Hope Cemetery. In lieu of flowers and cards, the family requests donations be made to the Western Indiana Community Foundation's Hoffman Scholarship Fund or Hoffman Trojan Scholarship Fund. Ruth M. Stewart, 84, of Covington, died on Sunday, July 19th. Private Family Services and Burial in Mount Hope Cemetery. Alice Louise Daly, 77, of Georgetown, passed away on July 17th. A celebration of Alice's life will be held graveside at 2 p.m. Thursday, July 23rd, at Crown Hill Cemetery in Ridge Farm. Memorial donations can be made in her name to the Georgetown Church of the Nazarene. Vernon C. Hicks, Jr., J.R., 80, passed away on July 16th. A celebration of life service will be held at 10 a.m. on Thursday, July 23rd, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will be in Stearns Cemetery in Fithian, Illinois. Memorial donations may be made to the charity of your choice. Kim Pickens passed away this week. A private service at Grandview Cemetery will be held on his behalf. Dorothy B. Tucker Brown Boughton, or Cookie, passed away on July 18, 2020. Dorothy was 94 years old and a lifelong Georgetown, Illinois native. A celebration of Dorothy's life will be held at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, July 22nd, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown, Illinois. Visitation will be 1 hour before the service. Burial will be in Georgetown Cemetery. Memorials can go to Sun Valley Indian School or Hospice of Michigan. Carl Pete Holst, 73, of Danville, passed away on July 17th. A private family graveside service will be held. Burial will be in Resurrection Cemetery. A celebration of life will be held at a later date. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions are requested to the Douglas Discovery Garden. Josephine Ellen Marriage, 91, of Bushnell, Florida, passed away on Saturday, July 4th. Josephine will be laid to rest next to her husband, Daniel, at Georgetown Cemetery in Georgetown, Illinois. John Matthew Sant of Danville passed away on Monday, July 20th, at the age of 97. A celebration of life will be held on Sunday, July 26th, at 2 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Visitation will be held prior to the service from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. at the funeral home. People wishing to honor John's lifelong commitment to family and community can make donations to the Danville Area Community College Nursing Program. Michael Mike Wayne Fogle Jr., 56, of Danville, formerly of Sidell and Schramm City, passed away on Friday, July 17th. A walk-through visitation will be held on Wednesday, July 22nd at Sidell Assembly UPC from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. All are welcome, but we ask that you practice social distancing, wash your hands, and bring your own mask. A celebration of life will be held for personal family as well as the Sidell Assembly Church family. All flowers or donations for the family can be sent to Sidell Assembly. Beverly J. Houston Miskus, 93, of Danville, passed away on Saturday, July 18th. A celebration of Beverly's life will be held at 10 a.m. on Thursday, July 23rd, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Westville, Illinois. Visitation will be from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, July 22nd, at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in Georgetown Cemetery. Memorial donations may be made in her honor to any human society. Tricia M. Leverich, 93, of Danville, passed away on Tuesday, July 14th. A mass of Christian burial will be held at St. Paul's Catholic Church in Danville on Friday, July 24th. Visitation will be held on Friday, July 24th from 11 to 11:30 a.m. at the church. Interment will be at Resurrection Cemetery. Memorials may be made to OSF Hospice. Margaret Bryant, 86, passed away on Monday, July 20th. A celebration of life service will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, July 25th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Oakwood, Illinois. Burial will be in Oak Hill Cemetery. Visitation will be held the evening prior on Friday, July 24th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. Face masks are required for entry. We'll return now to the front page for the article Jackson Voorhees Project Delayed to Next Year by Jennifer Bailey. The structure Danville firefighters used for training last month was demolished Tuesday morning at the southeast corner of Jackson and Voorhees Streets. According to Danville Assistant City Engineer Eric Childers, they are glad to see 1231 North Jackson finally come down for the upcoming project. The intersection improvements at Jackson and Voorhees Street have been a long time coming, he says. City officials hoped to move forward this year on the alignment of the intersection, with the intersection to remain a four-way stop, but due to some additional environmental reviews and the possibility of obtaining grant funds, it has been moved from a fall 2020 project to a spring-summer 2021 project, according to Childers. The Danville City Council in January authorized the purchase of 1231 North Jackson Street for $25,000 from Sageview LLC of Denver, Colorado. In state news on Tuesday, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and the Illinois Department of Transportation announced the release of a $21.3 billion Roads and Bridges Improvement Plan for the state that is funded by the Rebuild Illinois Capital Plan. The fiscal year 2021 to 2026 plan will improve 3,356 miles of road and 8.1 million square feet of bridge deck, according to a press release. Illinois remains a hub for commerce and transit, and not just for this nation, but the entire global economy. We are the fifth largest economy in the United States, and the crossroads for national and international companies who need our roads and airports and rail and rivers and people to move their products, Pritzker said through the press release. Even in a pandemic, especially in a pandemic, our transportation systems connect the lives of our residents and our communities. Our roads and bridges deliver Illinoisians to work and home again, to school, to the pharmacy, to the doctor's office. The multi-year plan we're announcing today provides funding to reconstruct over 3,300 miles of roads and over 8 million square feet of bridges, and more importantly, create and support hundreds of thousands of jobs over the next 6 years for hardworking Illinoisians across our state, Pritzker stated. Under the leadership of Governor Pritzker, IDOT, throughout COVID-19 pandemic, has focused on continued investment in infrastructure to keep people safe and the economy moving, said Acting Illinois Transportation Secretary Omer Osman. The multi-year plan keeps us on task during these uncertain times. While we are not cutting or delaying projects, we will continue monitoring the impacts on future revenues to ensure we are investing taxpayer resources wisely. Of the total $21.3 billion included in the six-year program, $3.15 billion has been identified for the current fiscal year. Projects included in the program were selected based on objective criteria, such as pavement condition, traffic volumes, and crash history. During the next 6 years, $6.1 billion of the funding will go towards highway reconstruction and preservation. $4.7 billion towards bridge improvements, and $2.6 billion for strategic expansion, $1.8 billion for system support like engineering and land acquisition, and $1.4 billion for safety and system modernizations. Passed in 2019, Rebuild Illinois is investing $33.2 billion into the state's aging transportation system, creating jobs and promoting economic growth. Rebuild Illinois is not only the largest capital program in state history, but also the first one that touches all modes of Illinois transportation: roads and bridges, transit, waterways, freight and passenger rail, aviation and bicycle, and pedestrian accommodations. A lengthy list of the Vermilion County projects is also included at the end of this article. For some more education news, we'll go to the article "Hoopston Looks at A/B School Schedule" by Carol Hicks. Hoopston. The plan being considered in Hoopston and discussed at Monday's special school board meeting for opening school this fall was to have grades K through 5 in school until 1:05 p.m. daily, and 6th through 12th grades in school on an A/B schedule. Superintendent Robert Richardson said that students in the A group would attend school Monday and Thursday, and students in the B group would attend school Tuesday and Friday, with Wednesday left as a remote learning day. The plan, according to Board President Dave McFadden, is based on the ISBE and IDPH guidelines, as well as community feedback. He added that since the plan's release last Thursday, feedback on the AB plan was 100% negative, even though he continued it was designed to fulfill the board's obligation to educate kids while maintaining student and staff safety. In an HEA return to school survey, it was reported at the regular council meeting earlier this month that 69% of those surveyed wanted a return to in-person teaching, with masks seen as the biggest issue for students. HSMS Principal Michelle White said with 25 to 26 kids in a classroom, social distancing would be a problem, and a high percentage of the kids won't wear masks. "There's going to be someone who brings the virus into the room," White said. "There's nothing we can do about that." Items that were deemed the most important on the survey for in-person schooling were nightly sanitizing and deep cleaning of the schools, 82%, student screening prior to entering the building, 71%, providing Wi-Fi access hotspots to those families wanting to stay with remote learning, 65%, limiting the number of students in any given building, 60%, and staff and students required to wear facial masks, 47%. The areas of concern the survey showed most was the health and safety of the students, staff, and their families, the workload associated with in-person and remote learning, student discomfort with wearing masks, and having the school ensure that all families have access to Wi-Fi for remote learning. Russ Walder, former school board member, brought up the fact that Rossville, Salt Fork, and Bismarck were scheduling full-time school in the fall and wondered if Hoopston has more challenges than they do. Richardson said the staff and board thought about having school every day, but there were so many problems to look and consider under the Phase 4 plan, such as how students could pass safely between classes, number of students and number of places to safely seat them for lunches, social distancing, masks, and more. That was the least problematic plan. A lot hinges around whether Governor J.B. Pritzker plans to call an end to the lockdown, according to Richardson. But in the meantime, this is the tentative plan. Richardson did say he would talk to the other districts about their 5-day plans and schedule another meeting following that discussion. With the time we have left, we'll go over to the community brief section for some updates on events in the area. In Danville, county panel meets. The Vermilion County Executive and Legislation Committee will meet at 5 p.m. on Thursday at the Vermilion County Administration Building, second floor at 201 North Vermilion Street. Also in Danville, the Palmer Arena Board will have a committee meeting at 5 p.m. on Thursday in the large meeting room at the arena. Palmer Arena Board Chairman John Spezia recently combined several committees in an effort to improve communication. The Marketing, Concessions, and Safety panel is one of the two combined committees. Agenda items include Dashers rates, youth hockey, ice fee for youth team rentals, concession stand upgrades, update on an ice system, and when the arena can reopen to the public. Also in Danville, Dazed in Theater. The Fisher Theater will show Dazed and Confused at 7 p.m. Thursday at the Historic Theater in downtown Danville. For now, the theater can accommodate up to 50 patrons on the main floor, 50 in the mezzanine level, and 50 in the balcony for certain events. Reserve a seat online. Tickets are $10. In Ridge Farm, the Column Family Reunion will be at noon on Sunday, August 2nd in Ward Park at the Wayne Blackney Building. Tables will be set at social distance and masks are encouraged. This section also includes a photo where a long line of vehicles are formed for drive-through COVID-19 testing Tuesday morning at the Vermilion County Health Department at 200 South College Street in Danville. The first day of the Illinois Department of Public Health provided testing, they saw 161 people get tested in Oakwood on Monday. Vermilion County Health Department Public Health Administrator Doug Toole said he was very happy with the number of people testing so far. The testing continues through the week at Judith Giacoma Grade School in Westville today, Second Church of Christ in Danville on Thursday, Hoopston Area High School on Friday, Danville Area Community College on Saturday, and the Health Department again on Sunday. Hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. for the free testing, and no appointment is necessary. It is open to anyone with or without coronavirus symptoms. The testing shut down a little after noon on Tuesday due to the weather. The number of people tested Tuesday was not yet reported. Toole did confirm 6 new cases, one resident in their 70s, 4 in their 30s, and 1 in their 20s, and 4 cases released from isolation on Tuesday, bringing the county total to 22 active cases. All but one of the active cases are at home in isolation, and one is hospitalized at this time. Vermilion County has seen 113 total positive confirmed cases, 9,825 total tests. Of the 6 new positive cases today, 2 share a household, and 2 share a household with someone previously reported positive, Toole said. That's going to be all the time we have for today's reading. This has been Ian with the commercial news, dated Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020. Thanks for joining me today, and please continue to stay safe.